Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Adi Oladipo here. Thank you so much for downloading Fight Night Extra. Remember, we're here every single Tuesday live on TalkSport 2, myself and the great Gareth A. Davis. If you can't join us live, remember to subscribe to the Fight Night podcast channel. So much other great content there as well, such as Fight Night, Fight of My Life, and even the Mike Tyson story, The Boy from Brownsville.
This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
If you love your boxing and your MMA, then this is obviously the show for you. Fight Night Extra with myself, Adi Oladipo, and the great Gareth A. Davis, where we discuss all the latest from the world of combat sports. Today, we're going to unpack Saturday night's mega fight in Saudi Arabia's Tommy Fury got the better of Jake Paul, handing the influencer turned boxer his first defeat as a pro. We'll attempt to unpack the fight, and we'll ask what next for both men, and either, if either, have a long-time career as legitimate boxers. We'll also be talking about Conor Benn, after being cleared by the WBC last week. The welterweight is now looking to sue the British Boxing Board of Control for £3.5 million for their handling of his collapse fight with Chris Eubank Jr. last year. And finally, we have a date, and a wait for one of the biggest fights in boxing. Javonte Davis versus Ryan Garcia has been confirmed. We'll discuss that announcement and just how big a boost it is for the sport. And we'll discuss the return of the GOAT, MMA royalty, as Jon Jones makes his return to the octagon to face Cyril Garn for the UFC heavyweight title. Look, busy show as always. Don't go anywhere. This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
Daniel Vanderbilt scores it 76-73 for the winner by split decision, Tommy TNT.
Through these 2.5 years, I had a dream, I had a vision that I would win this fight, and no one believed me. Now I can stand up and everybody can take note. It was my first main event, 23 years old, I had the world on me, I had pressure on my shoulders, and I came through.
The clean boxing program for our call has finished, and we put out a press release, which is self-explanatory, and he will be reinstated next month on the ranks.
We're not stupid here, we are not stupid. The system stinks, it's not working. Yeah, this is not good for the sport. I think it puts a really bad stain on the sport, and even more so on the WBC.
Gareth, let's get straight into it. Saudi Arabia, you should have been there, but you were working in the studio for TalkSport. The big one, right? It would have done massive numbers as well. Jake Paul versus Tommy Fury. Tommy Fury showing that there's levels maybe to this boxing game, and in the end, getting a split decision victory. I thought he won it by a couple of rounds. But in the end, he got the W, and we saw how much it meant to him. He was crying in the ring. What did you make of the event first? Before you talk about the fight specifically, the whole event, what did you make of it?
Well, as you say, you called it a mega fight. It was in a weird way, but the event was a mega event. There's no doubt about it. The Saudi royal family using this event and all the captured imagination, public imagination, a young crowd watching it, as well as a boxing crowd, Jake Paul and Tommy Fury being the confluence of those crowds. And they really used it. They got Deontay Wilder in, Mike Tyson in, Derek Chisora's promoter. They got all the characters. Devin Haney was there announcing his fight, which potentially could go there. They were definitely kind of schmoozing the whole thing to create a platform to springboard to more events in the Middle East. And I don't doubt that there were talks between Prince Khalid I remember him saying to me, "Oh, you are one of my critics," when I was there at the Joshua Usyk fight live on air. And maybe schmoozing Tyson Fury. We saw the banquets and the swords out and the dancing. I thought the whole event was phenomenal. I think Shane Fury, Tyson's Fury brother, said it was like being at a Las Vegas big fight event.
Yeah.
You know, outside the heavyweights, he hasn't seen as big an event as that. It was like a world title fight. It was an incredible build-up during the week. And I hold true to what I'd said all along, that there was a narrative there for Tommy Fury the whole time, that he wasn't just fighting for himself and his family, but for boxing in a sense. And like you say, that relief was tangible afterwards. I don't know what you made of the event, but I thought it was a huge, huge success. And the numbers, as you say, were huge for it.
Yeah. Going on the event, I thought it was fantastic. I really do. I understand what I'm watching. I was watching two novices, so I can kind of park my brain and forget all the titles and belts being thrown around. I know what I'm watching. But the event itself, I thought was tick, tick, tick. It reminded me growing up watching big time boxing in America in the 90s, where ringside you have Hollywood stars and musicians and actors and A-listers. I mean, Cristiano Ronaldo was there, you know, alongside Mike Tyson and Derek Chisora in the middle taking photographs. And it's kind of what boxing needs. It's maybe what boxing's lacked for a long time. So I have absolutely no problem with the event itself. All right, let's talk about the fight, Gareth. Again, two novices, and that's what they were. One who's never had a professional boxing fight, really, against a proper boxer. And one that's had, what, 7 or 8 fights in Tommy Fury. What did you make of the fight?
Well, it delivered what we really thought on paper as boxing insiders it would deliver, which is Tommy getting behind his jab early, doing a one-step sideways move to avoid Jake Paul's punches. Jake Paul was exposed as more of a novice than Tommy is.
Yeah, yeah.
But both men, but it was compelling. There was something compelling about it, because Jake Paul has heart and stamina and huge cojones to go in there. He's got great courage. You can see that. And he went at it till the last. Whereas Tommy had to kind of hold his nerve, use his boxing. Yes, he let his hands go at times. He didn't listen to his dad in the final round when they really knew they were ahead. And he did get involved. And he did get caught. And it was a little bit of a slip, tired legs, and he went down. There was enough drama in it to actually keep you on the edge of your seat. But it delivered what we thought it was going to deliver. Fury had to win in the manner he won. The fact there wasn't a knockout showed that they don't get in the positions to knock themselves out.
Yeah.
Jake Paul is a real trier, and I thought he comported himself brilliantly as well. I thought the way he took the defeat afterwards was
perfect.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, perfect. No complaining. Well, apart from him saying that there was a problem with his hand, but you know, the way in which he's handled it after, considering the amount of stick he would have got, I think he's great. He really is. And look, we'll talk about what next for both. There was a really intriguing and I think great fight as the Chiefs support the co-main event between Badou Jack and Ilunga Makabu. Badou Jack winning that one now to become the WBC cruiserweight champion. I don't know what next for him. He's 39. I mean, there'll be a lot of Brits wanting, you know, a shot at a crack at the world title. Chris Billim Smith, Richard Riakpor, a Coley, maybe a unification fight. What did you make of the co-main event?
Well, it was brilliant. Ilunga Makabu was slovenly early in the fight, I thought, and quite maybe he gassed early at one point.
Yeah,
maybe they hadn't prepared for the heat. He didn't look right early on in the fight. Then he battled back into it. Badou Jack definitely got ahead in the fight and took over and got the stoppage. Extraordinary achievement to become the oldest cruiserweight champion in history. When you think the oldest cruiserweight champion in history at the age of 39. When you think of what other champions there have been in that division, in the likes of Evander Holyfield and David Haye and others.
Yeah.
But I just wonder whether there were two Brits licking their lips watching that in Richard Riakpor and Lawrence Okolie, because you do feel that with the kind of youthfulness and explosiveness that
and
both
size.
Men have. And size as well. Badu's a big guy, by the way. He was always a big guy, even at super middleweight.
Mm.
And as he says now, you know, that extra 35 pounds is so good for me that he can weigh. And it shows. And listen, he's been a servant to the sport. He's a brilliant character, Badu, and has had that relationship with the Middle East for a long time as well, yeah. by the way, and has put on cards there and has been a part of the whole evolution of boxing in the mini. So in many ways, it was a golden night for him, and it was a great fight. I mean, it was a real battle, and he thoroughly deserved the victory.
Yeah, it was a golden night in Saudi Arabia on Sunday evening. Not so much a golden night Saturday, O2 Arena, London. Again, for the listeners, O2 Arena, one of the biggest, if not the biggest arena we have here in the UK, holds, what, just over 20,000. I was there on Saturday to watch Floyd Mayweather versus Aaron Chalmers. And I can tell you now, there was about 2,500, 3,000 in there max. And I've never been so disappointed with, I cover a lot of this exhibition crossover boxing stuff. So again, I know what I'm getting, but this was a Floyd one and I expected a bit more, and it was poor, Gareth. I mean, you were there for the build up. Why weren't you there Saturday night? Why couldn't you endure the pain I endured?
Well, look, I mean, there was talk about me being involved in the broadcast. Mm. And I think rather as it was for my situation, I think the whole event itself wasn't promoted well enough. They didn't put advertising behind it, because it should have been a sellout for Floyd, frankly. Yeah. A lot of people knew it wasn't happening. It should have been driven more, and not just by events around Mayweather. I remember speaking to Spencer Fearon on Wednesday, one of our insiders in boxing, who was saying that, you know, rather like when Mike Tyson was in town, they should have taken Floyd to Brixton. They should have taken and done an open gathering for him. They should have created more events around him rather than, you know, the skating event he went to and the workout in the gym. There's absolutely no way that if it had been promoted right, they would have gotten, you know, 15,000 there.
Yeah.
Maybe not sold it, but there are enough people in this country that want to see Floyd Mayweather live. And it was his debut in this country. I know it was an exhibition. Ditto, by the way, for Aaron Chalmers, who I think put up a decent showing.
He did. He went
against Floyd, and his stock rose. He wants to get in that milieu with Jake Paul and Tommy Fury and all those guys, KSI. And I think his stock rose. He had, what was it, 100,000? They reckon there was 100,000 Newcastle Geordie fans there for the Carabao Cup final. And they could easily have swelled that arena. So it was very disappointing in lots of ways. It looked fine on the monitor on Zeus TV. But as you say, in the arena, it didn't do justice to what Floyd Mayweather is in boxing.
Yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned it was on Zeus TV. I mean, I was asking Spencer as well a few days before the event. I said, look, and I'm a boxing fan, I was like, who's showing this fight? I had no idea. And I'm thinking, if I have no idea, there's going to be a lot of people at home that would have been searching on Saturday night to find it and pay for it. I had no idea. And how Floyd didn't do the rounds on TalkSport, Sky Sports Boxing, maybe a bit of BT Sports, and go to the big YouTubers as well, is beyond me. So all in all, very disappointed. Not with Floyd. Floyd's going to do what Floyd's going to do, the organisers.
They could have piggybacked on the event in Saudi Arabia as well and just brought themselves into it. Clearly, well, I don't know if it was the case that they'd moved the Saudi Arabian event to a Sunday night because Floyd was having an exhibition, I don't know. But soon after that fight was announced with Harrison at one point, who was it?
It was Harrison.
The event in Saudi moved to Sunday. I don't know whether that was just by chance, but it was dissatisfactory. And being there on Wednesday, Floyd was here to make an impact, and I don't think he made the impact that he wanted to, or perhaps the organisers wanted to.
No, he certainly didn't. All right, you're listening to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Still to come, we are going to talk Conor Benn after reports emerged that he will be suing the British Boxing Board of Control for £3.5 million. And we'll discuss the announcement of Gervonta Davis versus Ryan Garcia, the big one. Split pay-per-view as well, by the way, Showtime and DAZN, which is interesting. But up next, we are going to continue to discuss Sunday's event in Saudi Arabia and ask what next for both Jake Paul and Tommy Fury.
This is Talk Sport. This is the main event. This is Jake Paul against Tommy Fury.
And Tommy lands three big right hands. Jake's legs for the first time just to seem to do a little wobble.
Jake Paul tries to. What a massive right haymaker that whizzes wildly, and then a left jab. A little short left, and Tommy Fury goes down.
For the winner by split decision, Tommy TNT Fury.
All the way through these 2.5 years, I had a dream, I had a vision that I would win this fight. I had pressure on my shoulders and I came through.
Welcome back to Final Extra on Talk Sport 2. Adi Oladipo, the great Gareth A. Davis. All right, let's continue to talk about the big fight on Sunday. So much to unpack still from it in terms of where both fighters go. I want to start with Tommy Fury. Look, he was the one that won, so let's start with him first. There's been some discussion about whether or not he should really chase this dream of being a real boxer, as they say. I've got just done air quotes there for people listening and not watching. Look, if he does go that route, this is a guy that's going to have to do area titles, English titles, British titles. Does he really want to do that? Or do you want to potentially dance in the ring with KSI for £3.5 million? Yeah. I know which one I would choose to do. Yeah. What does he do?
Listen, he's got a difficult headache at the moment, hasn't he? Or rather, a good headache. Look, yes. Of course, internally, he wants to prove, he's from 10 generations of bare-knuckle fighters. He wants to prove to his dad, who he's very close to John Fury, who was kind of weirdly fascinating all week, wasn't he, over in Saudi? It was brilliant. You know, he was full of beans, but he kept himself together. He loved it, exactly. And his son proved him right. They were looking for a knockout, but he outboxed Jake Paul. He held his nerve. He did all the things asked of him. They've got a difficult problem, but it's one that he will handle. And I think, why not, in an inherently dangerous sport, if you've put yourself in a position which, you know, he was brilliant on Love Island. He and Molly May are very much a kind of celebrity couple now. They've just had a baby. He's earned huge money for beating Jake Paul. He stepped up. There's huge relief. They achieved what he needed to do. He showed that he knows boxing skills. There's lots of vulnerabilities about him as a boxer, but he's got the rudiments.
Yeah.
KSI is calling him out. He's got 41.5 million social media followers. It's an enormous fight. KSI isn't even the boxer that Jake Paul is, and he's improving as well. Yeah. So why not take that fight? I think Tommy might even take the Jake Paul rematch, first of all. There's lots of money. He's got nothing to worry about with Jake Paul because Tommy can get better now as well. And he knows Jake Paul isn't going to suddenly develop a ramrod jab and a way of using his feet to get on the inside, because Tommy tied him up very cleverly during the fight as soon as they were close. They both got penalised for that kind of thing as well by a very overzealous referee. But listen, he's in a brilliant position now. The difficulty for him is he's going to be a target for all the big-name YouTubers and influencers. They'll all want to fight him because they want to compare themselves to what Jake Paul did. But really, he probably deep down inside wants to be a, like we're saying with inverted commas, a true boxer. It's a weird scenario, but take the money. Take these fights. Boxing's an inherently dangerous sport, and he is probably still 7 fights away from fighting for a British title or English title.
Could he somehow juggle the both? Could he do that? Could he? Because let's be honest, the YouTuber fights are a lot easier. Like, if he were to fight a KSI, no disrespect to KSI, but that's a lot easier than fighting someone for an English title. Could he somehow fight KSI in the summer for big money, Wembley Stadium, and at the same time go to Copperbox a couple of months later and fight for an English title? Could he do that?
He may well do that, but he's going to be earning probably a tenth, if that, of what he's... And the earning does come into it, the motivation. You know, it's going to be a very, very interesting battle for him, that internal motivation and that motivation of being a big star and that the influencer kind of milieu drawing him in. I mean, why would he not take those big fights that in terms of earning money? Look, he probably will do, as you've suggested, do both. But getting himself up for one fight or another type of fight, I don't know. We've said even going into this Jake Paul fight, Tommy Fury is on the cusp, on the crossroads of deciding what he wants to be. So, yeah, it's a very weird conundrum for him. Very, very weird indeed.
Yeah, for Jake Paul, look, I think the show does go on. You mentioned a possible rematch against Tommy Fury. That will be big money, big numbers, right? It just will, because they know how to promote these two. It will be fantastic. There's Nate Diaz out there. There's KSI. There is the Haseem Rahman Jr. route as well. He's not going away, is he? This isn't a guy that's crying into his cornflakes. He's handled it well. He's going to continue fighting, isn't he?
He did. He had all the right answers after losing and said, you know, judge me on my losses, not my wins. He was very magnanimous in defeat. He felt he'd won the fight. All right, one judge did score it for him. I don't know how the judge did score it for him. I didn't think it was that difficult to score that fight. Tommy won by two or three rounds, by 2 or 3 points. But I think the thing is with Jake Paul, there was enough in that fight for them to have a second fight. There's no doubt about it. There was enough drama, enough narrative. The build-up was phenomenal, of course. But there was enough in the actual fight for Jake Paul to go away and work at it and come back again. I think we get a very similar outcome a second time, frankly. I think they were both very tired by the eighth round. You know, Tommy's legs went, I know he slipped and went down. But he was caught by Jake Paul. There's no question about it. But it wouldn't surprise me if they did it again. They could do it in Los Angeles. They could do it anywhere, frankly. They might even go back to Saudi and do it. But it wouldn't surprise me if those two fought again. But does he fight KSI in the middle? I think they probably will go with Jake Paul if they have to, because I think the KSI fight doesn't quite work in boxing terms at the moment for Tommy Fury.
Yeah, it doesn't, right? I mean, KSI is a YouTube boxer. Yeah. There's no two ways about it, as whereas Jake Paul has kind of crossovered, if you like, to real boxing. Let's hear it from Tommy Fury. This was him speaking to Spencer Oliver, who did what you did. He jumped in the ring straight after the fight and spoke to a very, very emotional Tommy Fury.
Tommy, well, that was a very emotional performance there, mate. You had to dig deep.
Dug deep. Past 2.5 years, everybody went against me, other than my own family. Tonight, this is for everyone. My dad wouldn't be here without him. He stood by my side all the way through the hardship. And I'm now here, you know, this is his victory. This matters to be a world title. I trained hard for this. I put everything I had into this. And I'm here, and I'm a real fighter.
You had so much on the line because you was considered a real boxer. And had you lost that, that could have been really damaging to the future of your boxing career.
At the end of the day, we're here. I'm the winner, and we move forward.
Yeah, brilliant performance. Listen, he said there he felt he had a couple of points deducted. He feels that he could have gone the other way. Split decision. He'd like to do it again. Could we see that?
Yeah, 100% at the end of the day. I had as many points took as him. I won this fight fair and square. I had a slip that was counted in the seventh round, I think it was, but the punches were tallying up. You know, it's what you got to score with your eyes, not what you're looking at.
Yeah, I'm saying, would you give him the return if he asked for it?
100%. Listen, it's my first main event. I had the pressure of the world on me tonight, and I came through. I'm only going to grow stronger from this.
Tommy, you showed a lot of character in there, mate. Well done. Brilliant performance.
Thank you very much.
Spencer Oliver there, turning into Gareth A. Davis. It's weird watching him actually do that. I was thinking he's going to get kicked out of the ring, but no, he was able to stay in there. Tommy, very emotional, as expected. It was a big win as well. Just the pressure going into the fight. People saying, you know, he'll be kicked out of the Fury household in Dynasty if he doesn't win. Jake Paul obviously would have made 1,000 memes if he beat him. So I think it was emotional, not just because of the W, but the pressure going into it.
Yeah, you could see the relief in the dressing room afterwards, how much the whole Fury clan celebrated. They celebrated, I think, more than when Tyson Fury won the world title. There was more noise, more enthusiasm, you know, and that the relief was all round, because whatever anyone says, there was something of the reputation of not just the family, but boxing on the line there in lots of senses. So that it just showed that you can't just step into boxing and after 3 years suddenly be a boxer. They showed all their strengths and weaknesses. They showed exactly where they were in their careers, both as novices. And let's not forget, this is the richest 8-round novice fight in history we've just witnessed. Yeah, I've called it a fight for the new age in a sense. And this is this new age, just an evolving age we're in at the moment, where we are discussing these things all the time. You and I have been involved in interviewing some of these guys, in broadcasting these events. It is different. You know, boxing has been hijacked, in a sense, ambushed by a certain group of people, and that there is parody involved in this. And, you know, until they step into the ring, in some of the, you know, like the Misfits boxing and so on. It does look like boxing, but it isn't real boxing. It's white collar celebrity boxing. This was a crossover in a weird way. That first genuine crossover that we've seen. Huge relief for Fury. We heard that in the emotion there. And whatever anyone said, however cool and calm and collected he was all week, he was must have been so nervous going into that ring on Saturday night. Ditto Jake Paul, by the way. But it was Tommy Fury that was on a lose-win and Jake Paul that was on a win-win for me in going into it.
Yeah, huge relief for Fury. Huge relief, some are saying, for boxing.
Yeah,
it was almost boxing against YouTubers there and boxing got the victory. All right, you're listening to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Still to come, we are going to talk Gervonta Davis versus Ryan Garcia after the pair finally confirmed they will fight later this year. April 22nd, we're here in T-Mobile Arena, Las Vegas. Up next, though, we are going to talk Conor Benn. The welterweight fighter is looking to sue the British Boxing Board of Control.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The clean boxing program for all call has finished, and we put out a press release which is self-explanatory, and he will be reinstated next month on the ranking.
Listen, we know what's happened here. We know how long it's taken for them to come to this, you know, to this thing, and you know, certain things were presented, you know, governing bodies didn't accept that, then something else was presented. Come on, guys. We're not stupid here. We are not stupid. The system stinks. It's not working.
It's the only route to prove it is to sit in front of the British Boxing Board of Control and to provide them with sufficient evidence to get past the strict liability obligation that he has to be licensed by the British Boxing Board of Control. If you're innocent of something, you don't need to tie people up in legal knots.
Welcome back to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. The great Gareth A. Davis alongside myself, Adi Oladipo. All right, let's talk Conor Benn. He's suing the British Boxing Board of Control for $3.5 million. We'll get to that in a second. Me and you have not actually spoke, Gareth, since the WBC's ruling came out. Conor Benn and his legal team sent a 270-page document to the WBC, and they've come back and said, okay, we believe you. There was clomiphene in your system, but we believe that it's actually come from the amount of eggs you eat. And that's the reason they put him back in the rankings. He's now clear to fight. He's still having ongoing problems with the British Boxing Board of Control regarding their licensing of him fighting over here. But I do want to get to this 270-page document, all for it to be just about eggs. I feel like there's more to this. I feel like the WBC need to release the full statement here because I don't think they have.
Well, Mauricio Sulaiman, who was in the president of the WBC, who was in Saudi Arabia at the for the build-up last week with Tommy Fury and Jake Paul, he gave several interviews where he was asked this question about the statement, and but didn't want to elucidate any further than on that statement that came out last Wednesday. they've exonerated him of knowingly cheating. They've upheld the VADA tests that they weren't contaminated, or their VADA test, the WBC CARES test, taken in July. But they've accepted that Conor Benn's nutritional input could have caused the clomiphene to show up, not twice in the system, but because it only relates to that one test, because the VADA test taken in September ahead of the Chris Eubank fight that was scuppered, obviously, 3 days before the event, doesn't hold up in this investigation for now, because that report was simply about that one. There's no strict liability on that one, which there is on the other VADA test. So they have accepted that he's not a drugs cheat, that he has not knowingly put clomiphene in his system. And therefore, in a sense, Eddie Hearn, his promoter, says he wants to press on with his career. And Conor Benn is saying, look, I've proved in this report, this 270-page report, that I am not a drugs cheat. Look, there's a lot to talk around this. Now he's suing the board for $3.5 million, apparently. We're yet to have confirmation of that. He's planning to sue the board, is what I've read, over lost earnings for that Chris Eubank Jr. fight. But it's just putting pressure, isn't it, on the board to make a decision, and UKED, UK Anti-Doping, to make a decision over whether they whether they renew his license, rather, or whether they take a decision on banning him or giving back the license that he relinquished last October, that he surrendered to them in their hearing. Yeah, you know, it's all legalese. There's a lot of pressure on the board in UKAD. They don't have those kind of resources. So, you know, I mean, I think
that's what it is, isn't it? That's what it is. Sorry to cut across you, Gareth. I do apologise. That's the big thing here. Conor Benn suing the British Boxing Board of Control, who don't have $3.5 million. They don't have that. It's almost as though I feel that there's pressure on their necks now to kind of just, okay, let's move on from this. Let's move on. Let's just kind of get rid of it, because we can't afford to go down a legal route with you. So potentially, here's your license back and everyone can just stop. That's what it seems like from me on the outside looking in.
Yeah, I mean, and whether you believe Conor Benn or not, whether, you know, the eggs is a viable excuse, you know, the World Boxing Council have put him in a position to be able to fight for his right to get back into the ring. So, and he's taking it with both hands. So, you know, the key for me is what the Boxing Board of Control and UKAD's response is to this. I know that Frank Smith had brief words with Robert Smith last week after this came out. But apart from that, I don't believe the board have received, or UKAD have received, this report yet. You know, I'm waiting to find out from Robert Smith. But it's, again, it's a very muddied situation. It has been for 5 months. We believed this was going to come out anyway, in terms of the revelation from the WBC that they were going to back Conor Benn not as a drugs cheat. So it's just one of those very awkward, difficult situations in boxing where we're not getting transparency on exactly how the board are being treated. It's all behind legalese. It's a very complex situation.
You can tell that Robert Smith's upset by this, because Robert Smith doesn't really do interviews. Obviously, he done one with Simon Jordan for TalkSport. He's normally in the shadows. Obviously, look, we see him at all the boxing events, but he doesn't really come out and speak about certain instances, certain things that have happened in the sport. So he's clearly angered by this. And I do wonder if there's a bit of a power struggle here. But what angers me is how Conor Benn's legal team, and Conor Benn, he has to take responsibility as well. It's, you know, he's the head honcho, how they've given the WBC this 270-page document and VADA, and they've not said, okay, UKAD, British Boxing Board of Control, you have it as well. Like, why are we not sharing information here? You want to clear your name with the British Boxing Board of Control, give it to them as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, Eddie Hearn has a beef with the Boxing Board of Control after not making a decision earlier when they knew about the positive test for clomiphene, which he has a right to to believe, I think. You know, why didn't the board make a decision earlier? Why was it left until 3 days before the event? Was it because the story came out through a newspaper article? You know, there's all these things that need clearing up. And, you know, it's doubtful whether it all will be cleared up, you know, because for 5 months, no one's really wanted to talk about the absolute detail here. You know, Conor Benn has tested positive twice. Those VADA tests have been upheld by UCAD for one, and the Boxing Border Control, because they had that hearing last October, and also by the WBC, whether they like it or not, because the WBC have said there was no contamination in the actual test. No contamination by the VADA testing, purely that they're accepting that the eggs, that something in the eggs, caused the test. Look, the trouble is Conor Benn may be completely innocent, and it may be down to eggs intake. And, you know, he's very strident about this. So, you know, what we wanted was transparency from it, you know, and I don't think we're going to get it.
Yeah, what doesn't help as well, and look, I want to sort of play this out now. This is Spence Oliver in Saudi Arabia. As you said, Mauricio Sunderman was out there giving out these wonderful, glorious belts to Jake Paul and Tommy Fury. But look, this is what he had to say when Spencer tried to ask him about this Conor Benn situation.
Yeah, the clean boxing program for Oracle has finished. And we put out a press release, which is self-explanatory, and he will be reinstated next month on the ranks.
Sure. I mean, the British Boxing Board of Control, he doesn't hold a license anywhere at the moment, Conor Benn. He relinquished his British Boxing Board of Control license. So with him getting reinstated, just to clear all this up, he gets reinstated into the WBC rankings, but he will have to get a license from somewhere in the world. I'm not sure he's going to go down the British Boxing Board route, so could that possibly be America or somewhere else?
I don't know. We do not license back boxers, and we simply said everything that happened in the ruling, so that's all that we have to say about the case.
Yeah, I mean, I know you received a 270-page document about, you know, Conor's case and you know, and about what he was saying to prove his innocence. He did fail two tests at two different times, the UCAD test that he had failed. Could you clear up how this was cleared up? I mean,
I am not a scientist, and the ruling is very clear. That's the only thing that we have to say about the matter.
I mean, you was comfortable with what they presented in that document to say, well, yeah, it's okay to let him continue boxing, even though he had failed those two tests previously.
You're trying to put me into a corner.
No, I'm not. I'm just trying to get the answer. That's all. Because it's still a little bit unclear at the moment as to why or how he was reinstated in the WBC rulings without having this license and whatnot.
We did a process under the protocol, and the ruling came from that process, and that's what we put out a couple of days.
Mauricio Sunderman there. I was going to say this is what he had to say. He's basically avoiding the question. He doesn't really want to say anything. And this doesn't help either when you've got the head of the WBC not giving clarity as to the decisions they've made. That also leads to a problem. You've made a decision, explain your decision. And he can't, he won't. And again, this is the problem. This is almost becoming one of the biggest drug scandals we've ever seen over here. Yeah. It's blowing up to epic proportions that it maybe shouldn't or didn't need to.
Yeah.
Because no one is given the boxing public, boxing people like yourself, simple answers.
Yeah, it's very hard to get answers on it. I mean, we're all scrabbling around for answers on it. But, you know, clearly, after this statement, I mean, I think Mauricio Sunderman could have commented on his own statement. That's what was disappointing, that he didn't go over the details of the statement. I thought that was disappointing. But beyond that, Eddie Hearn said quite openly that they are now moving on with Conor Benn's career. They're going to look to get him out in May, June, or July, April, May, June, I think he said. And it could be in the UK, but that will kind of hang on the resolution from UCAD and the Boxing Board of Control. He said, we can't wait forever to move on. They're using that as a springboard, the WBC exoneration as a springboard, that he hasn't knowingly cheated, to move on, have a fight. We know there's been talks of Manny Pacquiao in the background. Conor Benn is an even bigger name now. They might go to the Middle East. They could go to America. And Eddie Hearn said quite patently in an interview with IFL TV last week that, you know, we move on. We'll either fight here, depending on how long the board take to make their decision, or we'll fight in Saudi or the USA. So in other words, they're going on with the career. And it, it does bring into question the procedure when someone does test positive now for a banned substance. Are you able to override it by, you know, the WBC, who aren't a licensing body? I think this is the key point. Who are a sanctioning body. Are you able to override it by just going through that process? Yes, it's the same substance. And, you know, the WBC have exonerated him. So, you know, people have talked in this scenario about this is where boxing falls down, that there isn't a world governing body who can rule on this, who could rule above the WBC and say, no, you are not allowed to box until you've cleared your name with your own authority as well. And that they make a decision, whether, and that decision may be the same. They may accept the excuse, you know, as I say, a joke as excuse, but they may accept that. But if we had a world governing body, which we don't have, and maybe we should have one, because maybe that would help with Olympic inclusion for boxing as well, and would be able to stand above IBA at the moment, with boxing threatened to be thrown out of the Olympics in Los Angeles in 2028. These are all bigger issues that could be dealt with by a world body. We have enough big figures in boxing that we could have a world body. And I think maybe that is the answer if we could get it moving forward.
Yeah, how a sanctioning body like the WBC has this much power to kind of give someone the thumbs down or thumbs up on their career is beyond me. Well, over a governing body.
Sorry to interrupt you. I mean, you know, look at what the WBC... look at what the WBC did out in Saudi last week. They were giving a world ranking. They were going to give a world ranking to Jake Paul if he beat Tommy Fury. I don't know if Tommy Fury gets a world ranking now. Maybe he does as well. I mean, it doesn't. There was no merit in giving Jake Paul a world ranking for beating Tommy Fury because they're both novices. There's no lineage in his eight fights to show that he deserved a whatever the world. They didn't specify what world ranking was, but look, the bottom line is boxing at the big money end is about money. I say it, at the big fight end is about money. And, you know, it's a business more than it is a sport at times. And that's what we're seeing.
I can confirm that Tommy Fury did get a ranking. So Tommy Fury is now ranked within the top 40 with the WBC, which, again, goes to show exactly what I think about the WBC. And I'm not going to mention what I think or what James Toney says the WBC stands for. We're going to move on very, very quickly.
Can I just add?
All right, next up.
Can I just add, Addy, before you go next up, my true and deepest apologies for butting in. The boxing board haven't received anything yet in terms from Conor Benn in terms of that he's suing them.
Okay. That's interesting. Look, we'll see how this unfolds and no doubt we'll be all over the story as soon as it does break. All right, next up, we are going to talk Gervonta Davis versus Ryan Garcia. The two stars will fight later this year. And we're going to talk about the return, for me, of the GOAT. John Jones returns to the octagon after 3 years out of it to take on Ciryl Gane for the UFC heavyweight title.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Outside of the heavyweight division, this, for me, is the most important fight in boxing next year. It has to happen. And the reason why it has to happen is because of the magnitude of the two guys that are going to be getting in the ring when it comes to their profiles and following. Fast hands, knockout artists, very, very talented boys. And these, especially in this division, we need to see this fight materialize.
After 8 months, I made this happen. Ryan Garcia, Tank Davis, done deal. This is what you wanted. This is what you're
going to
get.
Welcome back. You're listening to Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Addy Oladipo, the great Gareth A. Davis as well. All right, let's talk about the big announcement. Finally, we've got some good news in boxing, some big news as well. Gervonta Davis versus Ryan Garcia will happen April 22nd. We believe it will be the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Catch weight of 136 pounds. No belt. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all. This is the biggest fight that can be made for me in the... And it still really is a lightweight fight, although it's at 136. What I found interesting, Gareth, was that it's going to be on DAZN pay-per-view and Showtime pay-per-view. So it's going to be a split pay-per-view. I always find those things interesting.
Oh, we've seen it before when Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao fought. You know, we had all the major broadcasters in America. It just makes it bigger. When you have those kind of events, you know, Holyfield and Lewis and Tyson, you get, when you get these big events, even Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor, I believe, was all the broadcasters. When you get the rival broadcasters there, you know it's a mega spinner. It's really good to have this fight. I don't know why they need an extra pound each in terms of it being at 136. They don't need a belt on the line. I think that's significant as well. Look, this lightweight division, they call it the sexiest division in boxing, and I think it really is. You've got these two, Devin Haney and Vasyl Lomachenko, lining up for May as well. Throw Shakur Stevenson in the mix. Look, five massive stars of boxing. Ryan Garcia, again, we talk about social media following, 11 million Instagram followers. He's got handsome looks. He's like a Hollywood star in his looks. He's a young dad. He talks about his mental health issues. He's got equalizing power in both hands, and yet he's vulnerable as well. And in Tank Davis, we got a guy from Baltimore, from where that first series of The Wire was filmed, grew up in children's homes, is an extraordinary character. He's under the, or has been under the masterful kind of wings of Mayweather coming up through his young career. And I say young, these two guys are, what are they, 23-0, 26-0, something like that? Or Javonta, they're both undefeated. They both look brilliant in the ring. It's brilliant that Oscar De La Hoya and Premier Boxing Champions have got this over the line. It's just brilliant for boxing.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. And you mentioned Floyd there, and it's a shame that Floyd, I don't think, will be involved in any capacity in this fight, because it would have been so good to have Oscar and Ryan on one side and Javonte and Floyd on the other side. I mean, take my money right now. That would have been absolutely epic. Going on the split pay-per-views, will both sort of organizations, companies then agree on the price? Because we know Showtime normally will chuck it out, or PBC will normally chuck it out at around $100. DAZN might be a bit cheaper. Is it a case of DAZN and Showtime agreeing, okay, both $100, so we don't underplay each other here?
I'm not party to that, of course, but you'd think that they can't undercut each other because everyone's going to go with the cheaper price, aren't they?
It
kind of makes sense. They will have to agree on the same, a similar, if not the same price. But, you know, that I doubt whether they'll knock heads over it. What they need to knock heads over is how hard they promote this. You know, we talked earlier in the show about the lack of promotion for event. Boxing is all about hype and promotion when leading into a big fight. Sometimes fights disappoint when they do have this massive hype around it. It didn't disappoint in Saudi Arabia on Saturday night. It entertained us. This fight should truly entertain us, because Tank Davis is a brilliant operator in the ring. For me, he's a guy headed towards the top of the pound for pound list if he keeps going and he doesn't get in trouble in his life. So, you know, and Ryan Garcia has that kind of appeal that his fans follow him because they just want him to succeed. A big legion of young people, rather like Jake Paul. Last year, Deji's followers thought he would beat Mayweather because they believe in him so much. But there wasn't a hope on earth that he was ever going to beat him. What's good is that, and again, why aren't we getting Virgil Ortiz in with Errol Spencer? If we're not getting Terence Crawford and Errol Spence at welterweight, a fight we've waited and waited and waited for, why aren't we getting Virgil Ortiz in with him? Why aren't we getting, I don't know, Yaron Ennis in with Terence Crawford? Why aren't we getting the very best fights? That there's a lot of stalling on all these big fights at the moment. Tyson Fury and Alexander Usyk, we're still waiting for that to be announced. We understand they're still wrangling over the money. We really need, for the good of the sport, to see all these big fights happen. And this is one of those fights that they've done brilliantly to get it over the line.
Yeah, can't wait for April 22nd. I think everyone's going to be flying out to Vegas for that one. Big fight happening this weekend in Vegas, which I feel like should be
look, the UFC and their promotion have been fantastic over the last sort of 20 years, but I feel like they're lacking a little bit here. John Jones is returning to the octagon and it should be everywhere. He's returning at heavyweight after nearly 3 years out of the octagon to take on Ciryl Gane. And that should be just on the lips of everyone that's an MMA or a combat sports fan. It isn't. And I can't wait for him to, I can't wait to see what he has left. I've questioned whether or not it's still there. I do think there's a bit of gas left in the tank. I was going to say a bit of juice left in the tank. Shouldn't say that, should I? But I do think there's a bit of gas left in the tank. How much gas does he have left, Gareth?
Well, I had this debate with you a few weeks ago when you put out a very powerful tweet in lots of ways that, that you know, it's come too late for John Jones. He won't have it, having been 3 years away, 40 pounds heavier. Mm. But the thing is, I do agree with you in the fact he should have come back sooner. He should have come back sooner, yeah. And he should have gone to heavyweight sooner. I think he should have gone to heavyweight 3 years ago. There was Cormier at heavyweight for him, Daniel Cormier, that brilliant rivalry. That would have been amazing. There was still a group of big names around then that he could have fought that Brock Lesnar was probably still young enough to bring back then for that. They might end up bringing him back now if he beats Ciryl Gane at the weekend. But I just, John Jones, you listen to everybody that ever fought him. You listen to Quinton Rampage Jackson talking about him. He said he's never fought anyone better. Rashad Evans, Shogun Hua, all these guys that fought John Jones at light heavyweight. He just owned them all. He was brilliant against a pantheon of guys who were regarded as great in the industry. It probably isn't getting enough promotion. But again, 3 years out, 3 years away, you know, positive drugs tests, all those kind of things have blighted this part of his career. Let's hope he's still got it left. He looks phenomenal. I've loved all the clips in the build-up. And he's, apart from the problem he's got, if he beats Ciryl Gane, at the weekend, who else is there out there? That's the problem right now. It's a very shallow division in lots of ways.
Yeah.
And with all respect to all those guys who are fighting there in the UFC heavyweight division, that's my problem. It's the timing. But you never know. He may ignite a new division.
Yeah, and it could just become the John Jones show, where you just tune in to see John Jones beat guys up, as opposed to it being competitive matches. And, I mean, I know he's left the UFC, and I know he's left under a bit of a cloud as well, but surely Dana White digs into his pocket and gets Francis Ngannou back for the biggest heavyweight fight we've ever seen if John Jones comes through on the weekend.
Yeah, you never know. That might play into a narrative. I mean, it's peculiar because, you know, it was mouth-watering, the prospect of John Jones stepping into Francis Ngannou. That was the fight we all wanted to see. Him stepping up to heavyweight and Francis Ngannou being in front of him. You know, for whatever reason, Francis Ngannou and the UFC and his, or Francis Ngannou's management in the UFC don't get on in the right way. But he can always be tempted back. I'm sure he could. I mean, he wants to do boxing. He wants to fight Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury, Anthony Joshua. But maybe, maybe he's only got one big fight in boxing before he goes back to MMA. Because at the end of the day, he spent the last 9 years training as an MMA fighter, not a boxer.
Yeah, one thing I know John Jones will do, if he wins on the weekend, he will grab that mic and he will call for Francis Ngannou's head. He will. That's just what John knows how to do that, unlike a lot of other sort of MMA fighters. All right, Gareth, as always, fantastic show. Thank you, my man. Really appreciate it.
That's it for this week. Thank you so much for downloading our Fight Night Extra. Remember, we're back every single Tuesday for more great content. And if you miss us, make sure you subscribe to Fight Night to catch up on all our other episodes.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.